Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. All right, we're back for the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and with me, of course, is the guy who's getting ready to storm Area 51. That would be Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but hey, stop on by there just any random time of day or whatever and see what the heck is going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, all right, well, Dan, you know, the funniest story I've heard, oh, pretty much so far today, and for the I don't even know how you want to describe it, the last, I don't know, month or so, or maybe even longer, is the fact that the Lakers believe that Kawhi Leonard played them in free agency, and they are very upset with the way this happened. All right. This, of course, is a Lakers team that tampered with Anthony Davis, you know, and then when the Pelicans had better offers or another deal for him, you know, Rich Paul got out there and shot everything down. You know, they had the big announcement, of course, saying, well, you know, he can go or they can trade him wherever he wants to, but he's signing with the Lakers next year then. And now all of a sudden this team is upset. Dan, I think this is hilarious. Couldn't happen to a better team.
No, and I mean, are they Mark Cuban upset?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how, you know, they didn't really think like how upset they were, just that they were upset. So I got a kick out of that, and I was just kind of like, really? You know, you the Lakers are going to try to be ethical. Okay. So, so yeah, Kawhi played them. Oh. So I don't know how you think it goes down, considering they share a building. How do you think that interaction goes? Kawhi walks by LeBron.
I mean, they can go down however, but unless you have the contract in tow, and you know, here's what the NBA wanted: a player ran league. So you let the players run the league. This is the kind of crap you have to deal with.
You know, does Kawhi just show him his new, you know, the newly won championship trophy and MVP award?
Yeah, do they get a ring? You can wear that every day.
Yeah, I believe they do. So, you know, they definitely grab and get one of those as well. So, but yeah, that just of all the things, you know, when I heard that one, I was like, really, the Lakers are, you know, are upset that this happened. I'm like, come on. Like, give me a break. So,
well, you know, and I threw it to Mark Cuban because you remember when, was it DeAndre Jordan who did it to him?
Yeah.
And he ended up staying with the Clippers?
Yes. So, yeah, it wasn't quite that bad. Yeah, it was definitely an interesting, you know, interesting thing to kind of listen to, I guess, would be the way to look at it. And I was just kind of like, Yeah, okay. Are we supposed to feel sorry for you guys? I mean, you're not exactly a sympathetic team right now with all the garbage, you know, you've pulled, but yet we're supposed to feel sorry?
Well, it's kind of funny that, you know, the king is kind of, if you can't beat him, have him join you kind of guy.
Yeah, so... Yeah, well, you know, I think he's realizing, you know, after kind of an injury-plagued season last year that he's older and those skills are going to start to diminish. So, you know, he realizes he needs to surround himself with talent if he wants to, you know, if he wants to continue to win. So, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, I give him credit for that in a, you know, in a sense to recognize that, but... Yeah, I'm not going to be rooting for them in any way, shape, or form. I mean, they're – I get that the NBA wants them to be good and kind of needs them to be good because they're a marquee franchise. But, I mean, just the – you know, just the BS they've pulled here the last – you know, the last few months. I mean, besides the Anthony Davis thing, you had the thing where they – magically moved up to number four in the draft, and you know it's a load of BS. And you know anybody who thinks it's not is lost. You know they're just too busy drinking the Kool-Aid. But you know they'll be a playoff team. That's what the NBA wants them to be. Hopefully they won't be good enough to win it, because that's the last thing I want to see. Not actually seeing it, because. It just gives me more motivation to not watch this garbage. But, you know, who knows? No. But, yeah, I got to, you know, like I said, that was my entertainment for the day. I was like, wait, really? You guys are angry? Okay. So...
I mean, it's pretty comical.
Yeah, and I was trying to remember, I know that Sports just partnered with somebody. I don't know if they sold something or they bought something or what they did, but I, you know, for the life of me, I can't remember what it was, but I think it had something more to do with Hollywood than basketball. So... But yeah, I don't, you know, I can't. I tried to look it up here real quick, but I can't find it. So I'm like, whatever. So we can leave that alone, because you know I hate all that stuff. And just find some other, you know, fun, more interesting things to talk about, because they've got to be out there, right?
Yeah, like the fact that the Yankees are trading for everybody.
Yeah. So, yeah. Again, if there's anybody going to be traded, they're going to the Yankees. So that's kind of the simple way to put it. It's like, well, we're trading this guy to the Yankees, even though they don't need him. We're trading him to the Yankees. So.
Now, you know, did you check in on any of the Hall of Fame? I didn't know if any of their ceremonies put on TV yesterday or how that goes.
Yeah, I watched a little of it. You know, it's kind of difficult to sit through all the, you know, all the speeches and stuff. You know, and nothing against the guys, but obviously it's incredibly repetitive. You know, they're going to thank their teammates and the clubs and their former players and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, I don't really have any gigantic interest in that kind of thing. So, did you even bother to watch any of it?
No. No, I mean, I think the class was a good class to go in. Edgar Martinez, Lee Smith, Errol Baines, and Mariano Rivera. I found it interesting, though, and I guess when they announced it, back whenever they announced it, and I didn't even put together that, you know, it was Mariano number one in saves and Lee Smith number three in saves.
So, yes, yeah, for the long time was the record holder. So,
mm-hmm. So when I thought that was that was pretty cool. They did put together, you know, if anyone's interested, I guess it was Mickey's Place, Mariano Rivera commemorative Hall of Fame hat. But I was kind of hoping, I haven't even looked, that if they were to do a Harold Baines or a Lee Smith for Cubs and Sox.
Yeah. You would think they would, but, you know, again,
yeah.
you never know how it goes. Yeah, you know, I know the odd thing, of course, becomes as soon as, you know, this class goes in, they already start talking about next year's class. Because,
you know,
that's going to be the Derek Jeter. That'll be the Derek Jeter class.
Oh, really?
I'm kind of under the impression that he'll be unanimous. I mean, if Rivera was, you got to figure Jeter is, right? I mean, do you expect him to be, you know, that guy?
I don't see why not.
You know, and I do find it interesting for a guy like Kurt Schilling, you know, if Mike Mussina got in, Kurt Schilling belongs in, because Kurt Schilling was a better pitcher than Mike Mussina.
Now approaching mid-low.
So, you know, he definitely has an interesting argument there. But yeah, you know, looking at like some of the other first timers, I think Jeter may be the only guy who, you know, who gets in. I'm looking at some of the other names here. Alfonso Soriano will be on the ballot, Dan. Are you voting for him?
Just as soon as you do.
You know, Paul Konerko will be on. You know, it'll be their first year. But, yeah, there's not really a ton of guys out there as first-timers except Jeter. I don't even know if there's anybody close. I did hear some guys pushing for Bobby Abreu, but I don't know if Bobby Abreu is a Hall of Famer.
Do you think he kind of gets it possibly because of the World Series?
Yeah, you know, I guess that's always, you know, a possibility. I mean, it's so hard to tell now, like, you know, what these guys are going to vote for. But, you know, I mean, he did have an 870 OPS, which I know is a big deal nowadays, but, you know, he 288 career home runs, a .291 average. He did steal 400 bases. I don't know if people remember that much about that, but yeah, he actually had a little bit of speed to his game. But yeah, I mean, just kind of looking at it again, you know, it falls more into me as, you know, let's call it the Hall of being very good, but not really being a Hall of Famer. So, you know, maybe this is Schilling's chance next year with, you know, what looks like a thin ballot. You know, and I know everybody keeps saying Omar Vizquel is a Hall of Famer. He was, you know, up just about 43%. So, I guess if they're going to get there, this will be the year. But, yeah. I don't know kind of, you know, who it really ends up being or how it works out. But I know looking at, and I don't know the scale here. Let's see if it explains it. Bill James has what he calls a Hall of Fame monitor. And obviously Jeter is way over, but he actually has Jason Giambi as a guy who's got a chance, even though with the PEDs, I doubt there's any shot Giambi gets in. And then believe it or not, he actually has Alfonso Soriano listed as a guy who, you know, he's over the ranking is 100 and he's at 105. So, but yeah, Soriano's another one of those guys who I just think is, you know, he was really good. He had a couple really fantastic years, but I don't think he sustained it long enough for his career to be a Hall of Famer. Do you?
No.
That was the kind of the big thing right away was as soon as the one ended, the next one started. But like I said, it'll definitely be Derek Jeter, and I fully expect him to be a unanimous selection. If he's not, I'll be quite surprised. So. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, that kind of looked in. The year after that, I don't know. You know, we're getting to that stage now where they're going to have to start incorporating the newer stuff because you got guys like, Barry Zito will be on the ballot in 2 years. And, it's getting more to that where it's not the obvious, well, this guy won 300 games going into the Hall of Fame. So they're going to have to kind of figure these things out and decide what qualifies these guys. So
now approaching Oak Forest.
We'll have to see how that goes, but I guess that's why it's up for debate, right?
Exactly. And we don't have a vote. We don't pay. We don't pay to have a vote.
Yeah. Not that we shouldn't have a vote, but, even if we just had one vote combined, that would be a, that would be a thing. But
yeah, you got to pay to play.
The deal there. So, all right, back on more what's going on today, Dan. I saw the Brewers put Brandon Woodruff on the IL. He's got an oblique, so that could take a little while to come back. They've been scuffling a little bit, and he is easily their best pitcher. Do they need to hit the trade market here? I mean, we're running right up on it. We only have 9 days left, and we haven't seen any of those big moves yet. But do the Brewers have to go starting pitching hunting here if they want to get back in on this?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Jimmy Nelson, I don't think isn't back, and what's his name from last year isn't the same as he was last year. So if they want to knock the Cubs out, they really got to go for something.
Yeah, because, I know I don't know if he's back or they're getting, Gio Gonzalez back. He's only made 7 starts for them, and Chase Anderson has been good lately, but I've been saying this all along. I just don't think there's enough there for this team. And, Woodruff was far and away their best guy. I know Zach Davies has good numbers, but I still think Woodruff was the better pitcher. You do wonder if, the way things have kind of worked here is if they've blown up the bullpen. Cater is the only guy with a decent ERA. Everybody else is over, 3.63. So I don't know, but they definitely need to do something. Now the names they have here, Dan, they only list 3 starters. Madison Bumgarner, Zach Wheeler, and Noah Syndergaard. Now Wheeler is on the IL, so I don't know if you'd want to go there anyway. So you know, you narrow this to Bumgarner and Syndergaard. Are they really going to make that trade? I mean, that's what the Brewers normally don't do.
No, I mean, when you put it that way, I just don't see any hope for them.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, things really, I think, get muddled here in the trade department with the way the Giants have all of a sudden been playing. You know, I mean, they're a 500 team now. They're tied for second place in the, you know, in the West. And while they're not going to catch the Dodgers, I believe they're only like two games out of a wild card spot. So maybe they're not going to sell off like I thought they were going to do all along. You know, that, I mean, that takes a gigantic number of, you know, quality pitchers off the market. I mean, you know, we've talked about Bumgarner and Samardzija. You know, they had a boatload of relievers. You know, Will Smith, your guy Tony Watson, Mark Melanson, Sam Dyson. You know, all of a sudden we're pulling all these guys off the market because the Giants are contenders. But I did hear somebody yesterday say that even if they stay in contention, they still expect them to trade Bumgarner. Do you buy that?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're going to get for it. You know, if you're going to get five prospects and another possible starter, then I think you go for it.
If you get knocked over like that, then, yeah, obviously, you know, that's a deal. You're like, oh, yeah, okay, I can understand them making that deal. But, you know, yeah, they're not just going to trade Bumgarner to trade Bumgarner, right?
No.
So, you know, and especially if you think about it, I mean, imagine if they do get in a wild card. Imagine having to face him. You know, I know he's had his, you know, he's been a little up and down this year, but do you really want to face him in an elimination game?
No, not at all. Either side, you know, whether he's pitching or he's first half of the game in the third inning.
So, yeah, I just, you know, yeah, it was just kind of odd when, you know, you look at it because, you know, there's going to be other starters out there. So I find it odd that they just kind of relegated them to two guys and that was it. You know, and even if you want to throw Wheeler in there, okay, it's three guys, and that's it. So,
you put Wheeler in there. Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that's even a smart move at all.
No, you know, honestly, I think if he'd have been healthy, he would have been a Red Sox by now. You know, because they seem to be really close to the deal. And, you know, he got hurt. And I know it, you know, with all the injuries he's had, this is minor. I want to see what they listed as here. But they're just calling it shoulder fatigue. And he actually is supposed to return tomorrow against Padre. So, I guess it'll give teams at least one chance to look at him to make a decision. But, yeah, I don't know, with his injury history and everything that's, you know, went on with him, I don't know if he would be a guy I would be jumping up and down to deal for, unless, of course, they were willing to take all, you know, very little in return. But yeah, I just, you know, again, I just kind of thought that was, you know, one of those things. I believe they need to add a pitcher. I just think they gotta, you know, find the, you know, the right guy. But while we're on kind of the Mets there, we kind of stumbled that way. The Angels decided to end the Matt Harvey experiment, Dan. He was 3-5 with a 7.09 ERA in 12 starts. So let's see. This is a guy. I mean, he is. You know, he's only 30, and it seems like, you know, he went from, you know, multiple Cy Young winner. You know, back in 2013 and 2015, he was going to win, you know, the Cy Young every year, to kind of a guy who looks like his career is over. I mean, is he done at just 30? Oop, I guess it helps if I bring Dan in so he can talk, huh? All right, Dan, try it now.
I got dropped off. All I heard was at 30 is done.
No, that's why, you know, is it over for Matt Harvey at 30?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any way he bounced back, even if he gets a knuckleball.
You know, because, I mean, like, you know, like, he was, I don't even know if you'd call him decent for the Reds last year. You know, when he went to Cincinnati, he ended up being 7-7 with a 4.50 ERA, but, you know, he made a start. He made 24 starts. It just didn't work with the Angels. But I got to guess somebody's going to take a look at him, right? Somebody's going to bring him in on a minor league deal and just see what's there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to hurt. That way you don't even have to, you know, pay the big bucks.
Yeah. So, because I did see Detroit brought in good old Edwin Jackson on a minor league deal, so he's going to get another shot at trying to prove he can, you know, he can play in the majors. So you figure if Edwin's getting one, right, Harvey's got to get one.
Yeah, but Harvey didn't throw no hitter the last couple weeks.
No, that's true. You know, I mean, Jackson has had some recent success. I mean, he was really good with the A's last year. So. You know, then the other pitcher who was designated here, yes, I believe yesterday was the Giants decided to designate Derek Holland. He had been working out of the bullpen for him, 2-4 with a 5.90 ERA. Now, Holland is 32. He was actually good for the Giants last year. You know, the record didn't show it at 7-9, but he did have a 5.37 ERA. You know, I don't know, 32, he's left-handed. You know, and another guy somebody's gonna take a look at and be like, oh, okay, what the heck?
Yeah, no, I'm sure someone's gonna take a look at him. But yeah, is it worth it?
So, yeah, you know, I guess, honestly, you know, it's one of those things you just kind of never know. But, you know, we'll have to see. You know, and then the third guy, not a pitcher, who was designated for assignment, and I'm guessing this was just because of of a numbers crunch, was the Astros designated Tyler White. He was a big time top prospect for them coming through the system. You know, he's all of 28. And, you know, like, again, another guy, you look at it, and it didn't work out. He was hitting .225 with three homers. Last year, you know, it was .276 with 12 homers. Do you see him sneaking through and going back to the minors, or do you think possibly a team claims him?
No, I think he goes back to the minors.
Some interesting names that actually, got out there and got designated. It wasn't just your, you know, kind of bottom of the roster type of guys that we see, you know, the majority of the time. So, you know, it is possible. Maybe some team. I don't know. I doubt any of these guys sign with a playoff team, but I'm sure, you know, we're going to see somebody taking a look at him.
Yeah, I'm going to take a few minutes, but I have something I wanted to throw at you. What I heard over the weekend, it just completely baffled me. I thought it was one of the dumbest things I've heard, and I want to hear you kind of get on the horn about it. But the data shows Well, I'll get back to you in a minute. You kind of go where you were going.
Yeah. All right. Well, while Dan does that, I saw this thing where they have a current player on each team who's their most likely Hall of Famer. And some of these are kind of interesting, and they go by division. And they start with the Blue Jays, and, you know, of course, they go with Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's had 70 games in the majors. What's even more interesting is the Orioles. All right, they go with Adley Rutschman, who was the number one overall pick this year. So that's kind of interesting. The rest of the division, Tampa Bay is Blake Snell. Boston is Mookie Betts, and the Yankees is CC. Sabathia is a guaranteed Hall of Famer. We move into the AL Central. They have Francisco Lindor for the Indians, Adalberto Mondesi for the Royals. No surprise, it's Miguel Cabrera for the Tigers. He's a number one guy. And then it's Jorge Polanco for the Twins. And then another one of those interesting things here for the White Sox, they go with Eloy Jimenez. So we move out west. No surprise, it's Mike Trout for the Angels. Even less of a surprise here for the Astros, it's Justin Verlander. The A's, it's Matt Chapman. The Mariners, it's Felix Hernandez. And the Rangers is Joey Gallo. So that's kind of an interesting one. But no real off-the-wall picks there. In the East, the NL East, we get Freddie Freeman for the Braves. They do point out here that they thought about using Ronald Acuna Jr., but, you know, Freeman probably has a better case and he's farther along. The Marlins, they go with Victor Mesa, who I don't believe is even playing in the majors yet. So the Mets, they needed to go someplace else here because they went with Robinson Cano, and obviously with the PED on his record, he's not getting in unless they change their minds. Nationals, no real reach here with Max Scherzer. And then the Phillies, no surprise, it's Bryce Harper. In the NL Central, not much reaching to start. It's Christian Yelich for the Brewers, Yadier Molina, who's a lock for the Cardinals. The Cubs, they went with Chris Bryant. They could have had a couple choices there, but they went with Chris Bryant. The Pirates, it's Josh Bell right now. And then for the Reds, it's Joey Votto. In the National League West, we're going with Zach Greinke for the Diamondbacks. Dodgers, no big shot, Clayton Kershaw. Again, we get to the Giants, no surprise, it's Buster Posey. The only interesting pick here at all is Fernando Tatis Jr. for the Padres, because for the Rockies, they went with Nolan Arenado. So not too big of a shock there with any of these. In that division, it's always difficult when, you know, you're taking the younger guys like that because you don't know what's going to happen. But it's, you know, one of those things that it's fun to kind of be like, oh, hey, okay, let's throw this out here and see what sticks, or, you know, just have some fun with it. But, you know, obviously some of the picks are right on. But there were some rumors over the weekend, and there was one I didn't really understand here. For some reason, there's a lot of noise about the Cubs going out and getting Nicholas Castellanos from the Tigers. All right, now I'm baffled again with where does he play? You know, I mean, do they make him the everyday right fielder and they move Jason Hayward to center and Albert Almora sits, even though Almora may be the best defensive outfielder? I mean, I guess you could always bring him in late game situations for Schwarber. Almora's never gotten a chance to succeed with the Cubs. I don't know why they didn't move him. It's clear that Joe Madden doesn't like him and isn't going to play him. So, we'll see. They do have a bit of a fallback plan for the Cubs is Jared Dyson, who would just basically be a backup outfielder. And then Eric Sogard's name apparently has also kind of popped up as a utility guy for the Cubs. But, I don't know if he would be any better than Daniel Descalzo, and they, if Ben Zobrist comes back, that kind of solves the problem. So, you know, those were some kind of, you know, out there Cubs rumors. And then apparently the Rays have actually spoke with the Rangers about getting Hunter Pence, who's
oh,
done
wow.
a fantastic job of presenting himself. So,
well, they've had issues with the outfield being injured.
Yeah.
Kiermaier and Pham, and then I think Osmeto's been pretty healthy, but Kiermaier and Pham keep kind of going on and off.
Yeah, Kiermaier just went on the IL. I think he hurt a thumb or something. So that could be interesting. And then even though, you know, Dan and I talked about this 2 weeks ago that, you know, the Red Sox had locked up their bullpen issues and Nathan Eovaldi was going to solve their closer role, they've actually reached out to both the Padres and the Blue Jays about their closers. Of course, Kirby Yates is closing in San Diego and Ken Giles is closing in Toronto. Yates actually leads the majors in saves with 31. And Giles has an ERA of under 2. So maybe Eovaldi wasn't the answer and they were just kind of snowing us a little bit. But, you know, we'll see. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of some of the more humorous things. The Red Sox have also talked to the Blue Jays about Daniel Hudson, who's been really fantastic in the setup role. And his ERA for the last 2 months has been 0.93. So don't be surprised if the Red Sox aren't the only team looking for him. Because, Dan, you know the Yankees will be trading for him.
Of course they will. Well, and there was one you missed out on that I saw was the Cubs going after Nick Castellanos.
Oh, I talked about that right before you got back.
Oh, that one would be hilarious.
Yeah,
oh,
you know, my question just
Almora.
Yeah, you know, it's another thing of where the hell do you play him? You know, I mean, I guess that means Hayward plays center field every day and Castellanos plays right. So
I don't, it doesn't make any sense, but hey, we have a log jammed outfield, but if all the pitchers we face are left-handed, Kyle Schwarber gets that. You know, I don't know. You know, you got to wonder who's really making the decision here. Is it the smartest guys in the room, or is it Joe Madden?
Yeah, I'm still baffled why this team thinks it needs a bat when they're both still really a joke. I guess maybe they didn't watch Carl Edwards pitch yesterday. Maybe they took the day off.
Yeah.
You know, Strope had a really rough outing. You know, I don't remember if it was last time out or two times out. So there's still issues to address in the bullpen. But yet, you know, the three rumors the Cubs are linked to are two outfielders and a position guy.
Well, and the other side of it is, Edwards and Strope both show signs of prominence, or whatever, however you want to put it. But that's just it. We're going on, the fourth season that they've been showing signs, but haven't really been consistent. But I guess consistency doesn't matter when all you're looking at is numbers. And that's exactly where I wanted to go, Big Jack, with pitching, numbers, analytics. And the dumbest thing I heard was, you know, the backing up of the opener. And that was based on the fact that analytics show the best time to use your starting pitcher or the most you get out of them are from the second through sixth or eighth inning, whatever the other number was. I stopped listening because I thought that was the most jackass thing you can come up with, because the only reason his numbers, you know, it might get better, especially in today's game, is because, quote unquote, the best hitters on the team are batting 1-2-3. Well, your pitcher has started the first inning. So how can you really base those facts on not having him start in the first inning and have him start in the second inning? Because maybe his numbers, you know, maybe his analytics will show that he's better from the third inning on. But then you start your opener in the third, your starter in the third inning, and you go down and you go down the line. So it just it makes no sense to me why that would even be a part of any logical thinking.
Yeah, you know, it's to the point now where if you're buying the opener, quote unquote, as a viable option, I've got some swampland I want to sell you in Florida that you can develop. Because it's a gimmick. You know, I mean, the other day when Ryan Stanek got lit up as the opener, nobody said anything about it. You know, I mean, he went out and pitched one inning and basically eliminated his team from the game because he was so bad as the opener. But for some reason, that never comes up. So, you know, if you only hear about the opener when he goes out and he works a 1-2-3 inning.
Of course.
I mean, it is a gimmick.
And, you know, the dumbest one that we kind of thought of was when, now I can't think of his name. The Brewers skipper decided to put what's-his-name in for one inning and switch it out,
yeah.
Which, you know, at the time seemed very crazy, but what we didn't know that he knew was that the front office was calling the shot, and since his quote-unquote starting pitcher was, bad, you know, throwing from one arm, they organized their lineup to bat against that pitcher instead of putting together the best lineup regardless of the arm, and then he went and quickly swapped him out after one inning to basically throw off the entire the analytics game of putting together your lineup based on a pitcher's arm. So, I mean, in that sense, it was a gimmick, but it worked. It was the chess match that you kind of expect to see. But a lot of times they just do it just to do it. Because I don't know, Big Jack, to you, but throwing an opener in there pretty much is telling me that you don't have your faith in your starting pitching.
Right.
They don't do that to Justin Verlander. They don't do that to John Lester. That can be out of, you know, Madison Baumgartner, Zach Greinke. They don't do it to those guys.
No, and that's the thing. And I mean, and that's the biggest reason you can tell it's a gimmick, because it's not used all the time. Basically, if you're what the opener used to be called, it was called a bullpen day. You know, and Ozzie Guillen managed the White Sox almost one entire year without a fifth starter, and the fifth day was a bullpen day every fifth day. And oddly, they didn't call Ozzie a genius.
No.
You know, he was revolutionizing the game. What he was desperate because he didn't have a fifth starter. But now all of a sudden in this, you know, this new math geek-inspired baseball, you do something like this and you just revolutionize the game. You know, it's a miracle that, you know, we can do this. So, yeah, I don't get it. It's just... You know, I'm never going to get the opener. I don't believe it provides any kind of advantage. You know, the only thing it avoids is it avoids your pitcher from facing the team's best hitters in the first inning. But when they come around in the fourth again, well, he's there on the mound. So what happens? He has to face them.
Yeah, but. Statistically speaking, when he only has to face them once in the order instead of three times, blah, blah, blah. Being, you know, if I were going up against the Rays, just to kind of throw that off, because, I mean, I'm just using them because they're the ones who started it. But, you know, hell, if I go with Giancarlo, Gary Sanchez, and Aaron Judge, 1-2-3, and I know you're going with an opener, well, what the hell? I'm going to go with them 4, 5, and 6 and put whatever
right.
I, you know, but Didi at the top, just to throw you off.
So yeah, and, you know, that's something, you know, maybe teams will look to do. Yeah. you know, maybe that's something. Of course, you know, then they would have to live with the wrath of, you know, they're taking at bats away from, you know, their best hitter, even though, you know, I charted the Angels for about a month, and I think all Trout got was two extra at bats. So, the you know, there's no real justification there for that, but, you know, that's how they're going to, you know, throw it out there on you is, oh, my God, you took an at-bat away from this guy. So, but, yeah, it, you know, I mean, it's humorous, if it's anything. But, I mean, there's no, you know, the only strategical advantage you get is, like you pointed out, if you're playing the Dodgers. Because they're going to run out, and I think they only do it in playoff games. But, yeah, you know, if you, you know, they would run out a whole new lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like in the regular season, I mean, there's literally zero statistical advantage. It's basically, you know, like you said, you don't want your starter to face the top of the order, but yet he's got to face them in the fourth or the sixth or the seventh when they come up again. So it's, you know, it's not like he gets out of it.
No, and
you
what,
know, you're
what
kind
difference,
of putting off the inevitable.
And what difference does it make when starters aren't expected to really go past the sixth inning?
Right. You know, I mean, even if your starter comes in the second inning, he's only pitching to, what, the seventh? He's only going to go five innings, especially if he's this guy who just came in after an opener. I mean, you're not going to get, you know, eight innings out of your guy following the opener. You know, that's just not going to happen. You know, so, I mean, you can throw, you know, all the numbers you want out there. I mean, God, I'm trying to remember when it was, but, you know, Blake Snell had probably the worst outing of his career against the Yankees. I think it was two or three starts ago. Didn't
oh,
get
yeah.
out of the first inning. Right? He didn't get out of the first inning.
No.
Does that make him the opener for that game? Right? I mean, that's what he would be, right? He would be the opener.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, here it is. He
get along.
June 19th, Dan, he lasted a third of an inning, gave up two hits, six runs, and four walks. So he was the opener. But yet they didn't treat him like an opener, and they didn't bring him back the next day. Why not? Because he's Blake Snell, and he's not an opener. So, you know, just, you know, stupidity after stupidity when it comes to this thing. So,
but I mean, for every kind of stupid reasoning they put behind it, without anything, and analytics or anything, we're almost able to completely disprove it. Not even having to say anything, look up anything,
right.
Analyze anything.
So, you know, well, you know, like you look at it today, you know, I don't know if you even caught this one, but Jeff McNeil came out from the Mets having a really good year, and he actually made the mistake of saying that he pays attention to batting average, which, of course, is going to get him killed by every analytic and sabermetric guy in the baseball business, because at batting average doesn't matter. But yet here's a player coming out and saying he pays attention to it. So, you know, I don't know how they, you know, how they will take this. And, I mean, of course, this follows, you know, Alex Bregman, who just mentioned a couple weeks ago that batting average doesn't mean anything and it's all about OPS. So,
well, you know, when you eliminate stats you don't like, doesn't that make that easier?
I mean, I guess if you're struggling at the plate, you don't want to know what your batting average is. You know, and
well,
if you're having
a good year,
maybe you don't want to know what your batting average is.
Well, I mean, it's just like that kid you brought up from Houston that got, I think he said he was DFA'd.
Yeah.
You know, his batting average was, what, 325 with only three home runs?
Yeah.
But, flip, you know, keep that batting average at 225, and he's got 19 home runs. Would he have been on that future Hall of Fame list?
Probably. You know, Joey Gallo was on that list, so... You know, you just, you know, you never kind of, you know, kind of know what they're going to come up with or how they're going to try to quantify things. But, yeah, you know, it can get frustrating, you know, listening to them over and over because, you know, a lot of their stats rebut some of the other stats.
Well, I mean, just like strikes don't matter when you're a batter, but they do when you're a pitcher.
Right. So, yeah, how humorous is that? That it doesn't matter if you strike out when you're a batter, but if you're a pitcher, you damn well better be striking guys out.
But then there's that other part, Big Jack, that, again, it doesn't matter if you're a batter and you strike out a lot, but it's not good for the game if there's too many strikeouts. Because fans get bored.
Yeah.
But how does that work then? Because they're your best guy in the entire major league, as he is put, is the biggest strikeout, is the strikeout king. So how does that affect the Angels' attendance, and why does it keep rising?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't get, you know, a lot of the stuff. And, you know, and I get it. You know, it's guys who couldn't play the game wanting to be involved in the game. And, you know, they want to make it relatable to them. I mean, when you don't have the talent, you have to come up with a way to set it up so you can do something. So, you know, and now they've got something to do and something to talk about, and, you know, it's like, oh yeah, look, you know, this and this, and you compare it to this, and, you know, I mean, I have noticed lately that not too many people mention WAR anymore, but for what, about 2 years, that was the biggest stat in the world. Well, why did we go away from it? You know, did we go away from it because it was completely made up? Or are these stats actually better? So. You know, it just kind of. You know, kind of how things, you know, how things go with it. But. You know, we'll see. But I did, you know, I know we're. Well, you know, we still have a few minutes, but I wanted to mention the, you know, the Miami Dolphins here, and I want to make sure I get this player's name right. They had a player who was involved in just a horrible car accident a little while back and ended up losing, I believe he ended up losing part of his arm. And it
I
was
saw
Kendrick.
His left
Kendrick
arm was amputated.
Yeah, Kendrick Norton is the player's name. Now, the Dolphins did waive him today, which sadly is understandable. I mean, you don't want a defensive lineman with one arm. But, you know, before, they had actually came out before and said they were paying all his medical expenses. they did announce today that while they are releasing him, they are going to pay him his full salary for the 2019 season. So, you know, I know the NFL gets a lot of flack for, you know, being the bad sport. You know, it's supposed to be the, you know, the worst sport out of the, you know, out of the big four or whatever, you know, whatever you consider. But I thought this was a pretty classy move on their part. You know, not only did they pick up the medical expenses, but he's going to get his year, his yearly salary, and, you know, hopefully they can, you know, maybe they can help him out with some investments and he'll be able to get himself set, you know, set up for life.
Well, put back there. Yeah, I was reading that story earlier today, and I thought that was pretty cool. And, you know, pretty honorable of the Dolphins to, like you said, not only pick up the ME, but to just pay him. Because it's, I mean, it's fault or not, it's, you just, I don't know, it's kind of suck to be, what, 22 years old?
Yeah.
And not only lose your arm, but now you've lost your career. So hopefully he can have a faith in the organization.
Sadly, I believe the investigation did show that the accident was his fault. I don't know the whole story, but I believe I read that the police did deem that something he did caused the accident. I don't know what it was or how it happened. So, you know, I mean, you know, with the NFL, I mean, you never know how or what they're going to do about these things. I mean, in another story, they decided to not discipline Tyreek Hill, who was basically on tape threatening his, I believe she was his fiance at the time, and their child, threatening violence towards them. But somehow he got off the hook. So, you know, it's nice that they, you know, the NFL does something nice. Of course, to be fair, I haven't heard this reported anywhere on television. I've seen quite a few written articles about it online, but I've yet to hear a network come on and mention this story. Maybe it's happening in the Miami area because he is a Dolphin, but, you know, like the big market, you know, Mickey Mouse Network or the other affiliates like that. Of course, to be fair, I no longer get CBS because I'm with AT&T UVerse, so I don't know if their sports station did mention something. So thank you for costing me another channel there, AT&T. But, yeah, are you surprised that we haven't heard more about this? Because this seems like a pretty classy thing to do.
It's a hugely classy thing to do, and I get my news through being.
That's where I saw it, too. I saw it all online. I actually caught it in the crawl on Yahoo when I was going to check my mail. So, you know, I'm probably the only one still with a Yahoo mailing address, but that's besides the point. But, yeah, I just – because, you know, obviously I'm flipping through the different sports channels all the time. Of course, again, you know, it might have been something they had on the NFL Network, but thanks to good old AT&T, I don't have that channel anymore either. So football season may be a little rough for me if I don't have CBS and the NFL Network. I may have to hunt down another cable provider, which luckily for me would probably give me another internet provider. And all to be fair, would probably just make my life a whole lot better. Because I don't know anybody out there besides me who has UVerse, but God, does mine suck. So.
Some people swear by it, but not me.
Maybe I'm just unlucky or something, but yeah, it's been bad news for me, and now I'm losing, you know, channels I watch right and left. I mean, I watch the NFL Network all the time to get news. So, you know, we'll have to see if or what they come up with. Hello. Tune in.com.